Bing bong, we're on.
Ruff, 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 ruff.
Ding, 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 ding.
Bong.
Oh, you've won a competition.
I have.
Well, you've won a competition. I'll say the What's the Buttons has won a competition because that's the handle it was under.
But I screamed.
You have won a competition.
I screamed.
It, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Genuinely, not just trying to get up your ass, but genuinely fantastic screenshot.
Thank you. Thank you.
I loved it. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell the folks.
So, Kingdom Come Deliverance. Let's just read it, shall we? Because it makes it a lot better if I just read it, because
go on, then.
Then I am not making it up and I am just talking to fill space while I find the post. Here
find
it is.
Find a tweet.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. A picture is worth 1,000 words, or perhaps a fine reward. Show us your best KCD2 screenshot by replying to this tweet and 10 of you shall claim victory. Fortune favours the brave. Take your shot. And I posted on the 27th of February, and there it is. It's a beautiful picture. It's Henry standing in front of a burning building with two dead bodies in front of him. I put him in front of the fire, so he's more like a silhouette of the man rather than, you know, you know, like his contrast. You got it.
Top notch.
Yeah, it's a good picture.
It's on our Instagram if you want to go and have a look.
It's on the Instagram. And they replied yesterday, congratulations, you're one of our winners. We'll message you shortly, check your inbox and reply to us. There is over 1,200 entries into that competition, and we managed to snag it. But I didn't initially see the tweet. I was just sitting there talking to Jem, and then I got a weird symbol come up, which is like an envelope, but it was like it's not a symbol I ever really see, so I didn't notice, which was obviously...
A DM
on Twitter, which you don't get very often. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't, because we're small fry.
Small.
And it just said, hey, I'm Gabby, the senior community manager behind KCD2. And that was like all I saw, and I scrolled down.
Gabby!
And it's and then the next bit was congrats. And I just screamed. And Jen was like, what's going on? I was like, I've won something.
Yeah, it's weird,
isn't it? She was hugging me. She was jumping around. She didn't even know what I'd won. She didn't know what was going on. She was just happy because I was happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But because I've never won anything in my life, like literally, I was just like, I'm so unworthy.
Well, what did you win?
I don't know. A goodie bag.
Because I tried to look at the photo and I think that was a steelbook.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the fucking...
Steelbook,
I've got it on mine as well, so you don't have to lean over. Because I sent it all to Steph. I was like, Ash just fucking won something. So what we got? So we got a... So that's a beanie, Kingdom Come Deliverance beanie.
Yep.
That looks like a steelbook. And then that looks like a bag, a drawstring bag.
Yes.
That's what you'd call that. We've all got cool emblems on the back of it. And then I'm going to guess that's either a tea towel or a map.
That's a cloth map of the major city of Gutenberg. You missed the little necklace that's on the bag. I'm guessing it's a necklace.
Necklace on the bag?
Yeah, little pendant.
Oh yeah, shit, yeah, in the corner. Yeah, yeah. I wonder.
But I don't know if that's all the stuff that's in it, or if there's more, or if that's all of it. I don't actually
I wonder if it's worth anything.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can buy this stuff necessarily. I don't know, you might be able to, but it's just cool that, you know. The thing is, and I don't want to sound ungrateful, because I'm certainly not.
Mm.
I think I've already got that map in the collector's edition.
Mm.
But you didn't. I didn't get the hat or the steelbook. The steelbook I'm gassed for, because that's beautiful.
It'd be quite cool if it was a steelbook with the game included as well. That'd be quite interesting.
I'd just give it to you. I'd keep the steelbook. I'd give you the game, though. Not that you'd ever fucking play it, so it'd be a waste, but... But yeah, I'd give you the game, but the steel case is fucking lovely.
Yeah, yeah, it's a nice steelbook.
So yeah, it's not even that. It's just about like getting some recognition from a company.
A game that you love and you've really enjoyed and still enjoy playing, and then they've recognised you and gone, yeah, you're the image that you've captured from this game that we've created that you love. We love that too.
Yeah,
here's some fucking prizes
exactly
for
it. You summed it up a lot better than I could. It's just, I don't know, it's just a nice feeling. And yeah, really, it really made me think about like sitting down and properly doing like my top 10 favourite games of all time, because I'm pretty sure that's going to be on there. It really is something else. The story in that is like, You know when games are like getting you gassed and then you want to cry and then you want to scream and it's this like Last of Us level story, bro. It's so good. And so obviously fulling it through from the first one. So
did you get the 10? Did you get a 10 on a list? A list
I
of
haven't
10
done it now. No, I haven't done it. I need to sit down and do it properly, but I will definitely
so
do
where
that.
Would so obviously we won't go through, won't come up with an entire list, but obviously I know a fair amount of what would be on your list anyway. So obviously The Witcher's there. Cyberpunk is also there. Does Destiny make it on there?
Nah.
Okay, scratch that off. So then you've got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. Obviously Baldur's Gate 3. Where does Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 fall on in terms of the scale of those four games I just mentioned? Is it better than any of them, or is it still below?
This is why it's tricky, man, because like Baldur's Gate is just like the pinnacle of gaming, I think. I don't even know if that could ever be topped, to be honest with you. But then, like, The Witcher 3 was number one for so long. But then it's all recency bias, right? Because, you know, these games I used to play in my childhood, like Zelda Ocarina of Time and
them
ones. They're so good, but, you know, I don't play them anymore, obviously. So you got a lot of recency bias. But it's a tough one, man, because The Witcher 3 is like soured to me over time. I used to be my favourite game of all time, but yeah, I don't know. As things have come out, like, I don't know, it'd push Witcher 3 closer, I think. So probably, it'd probably be in the top three. I don't know, maybe. That's what I mean. I want to sit down and like write down stuff and go through all my library and think of all the games of the past and stuff.
That's what you want if you go over the span of a decade, so if you go from, if I give you a list of 10 games that are my favourite, and then in 5 years time or 10 years that list is still the same, then something's gone wrong, because there should be always contenders to squeeze in on that list. And like you just said, when you ask someone what's their favourite game, straight away they're going to think in the last couple of years what they played, as opposed to what did they play 20 years ago that was really fucking enjoyable, because you're such a different person. Like when I first started playing Ratchet and Clank, I love that shit. That's my favourite genre, one of my favourite genres of all time. But to experience it now is wildly different to when I was a kid. Wildly different. The nostalgic feel is incredibly different. So trying to throw that on a list, you almost want two separate ones. You almost want like your top 10 classics and then your top 10 relevant games of this era. Because if you're trying to compare fucking PS5 games to games that were fucking running in 64-bit, like, it's a bit fucking difficult to do that.
It's hard because a lot of games inherently are shit.
Yeah.
But because you played them at a shitty part of your life, or they got you through a shitty part of your life, or they've just got a fond memory because you had fond memories of that time in your life, there's, you know, things matter more than just the game. Like The Witcher 3, I was going for a bit of a shitty patch when I was playing that, and that made me feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's like a big driving force for why I loved The Witcher 3 so much. And not just feel good, it took me out of the shit, and it made me concentrate on what was going on in the game. You know what games are supposed to do. Take you out of the reality you're in and plop you in somewhere else. So you're immersed, so you're not thinking about all the other crap.
I always feel bad for, well, not feel bad, but you ever meet those people, and we know a fair few of them, they just don't game. There's no gaming whatsoever. They go to work, they come home, they might watch some telly, do some DIY, whatever. There's no gaming, there's no nothing. They don't do nothing, right? And I always feel like you're missing out. You are missing out because those are the same people where, it sounds really fucking, like I'm not trying to include everyone in this category that doesn't game, but you get a lot of people that aren't in that world that look upon gaming as if it's something childish and inherently a waste of time. But like you've just said, the emotions that are attached to gaming, and like you just said, the dark, dark places that you get pulled out of from playing a fucking game, is incredible. It's something that I haven't experienced in any other format of media other than music. That emotional turmoil that you get through gaming. And I always feel like people that don't game whatsoever, I always think like, are you not curious to get involved? Like, why do you see it as something that's childish when it's just another form of if anything, it's more engaging than any other form of entertainment. You see what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely is. I think the only other thing that may do that is books. If you can get engrossed in a book, you can't forget your surroundings. I mean, it happens a lot. I'll be reading away, and I'll be at work, and Matt will have the radio on or whatnot, and I'll be reading, and I'm reading, and then all of a sudden, my brain, it's like there's like a little switch, and it goes. And then I'm tuned into what the radio's fucking saying. Mm. And I'm trying to like get back into the reading mode, but I'm reading words. They're not going in my head. I can just hear the fucking radio. It's weird. I have to like get into a trance of reading. Then it just blocks all that other sound out. So when you can get into that flow state of reading, then you're engrossed, right? That's why I like reading in silence, but it's very rare I get fucking silence. But yeah, that's the only other form. I mean, films would never do that for me. I mean, I could watch a film, love a film. Or a series or whatnot, but you're never in it, are you? You're just watching it, I think. But yeah, reading, you're concentrating. Playing games, you're concentrating. You're making active decisions. So yeah, I don't think anything else even comes close. So a lot more goes into it than just the quality of the game. And that's why there's so many different top 10 games out there for people, because people will love, I don't know, fucking Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VII, but the original one, because it's the one that they remember from, you know, being a child and, you know, having apple pie with their mums and dads and stuff, rather than, you know what I mean? Like, good memories, and it'll bring them back to that when they play it.
I wonder how terribly biased some of the list would be if I just typed in top 10 best video games.
Ocarina of Time will be up there.
Of all
probably
time.
Probably like 98, 99, that is.
From sources across the web, what is that a top? That just says video games.
Just go on Metacritic.
Yeah, best games of all time. Metacritic, here we go, straight away. So, very interesting. So we have number one. Number one, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm. What does that get?
99. Is it that good? Is it that good?
Did you never play it?
No, I've never touched Zelda.
But once again, like that's a lot of people would have been like young playing that, like 12s and shit.
Yeah, 1998 is when that came out.
Yeah, so a lot of people were young playing that. So like, you know, it's different when you're a kid at that age, because say like, I don't know, GTA San Andreas or Zelda or anything of that ilk. When I played them games, they're the only games I fucking had. Well, I'd have a couple, but you're not getting another game to your birthday or Christmas or whatnot, is it? So you make the most of it. And I don't feel like boredom hits you the way it hits you as an adult. Or the repetitiveness of a game, you know. Like mechanics and that didn't grind you down when you were a kid. You died, you'd just be like, all right, I'll try again. Yeah, now I'm like, fucking hell.
Yeah, your time's more valuable now.
Exactly.
And then you got, right, number two, Soul Calibur, with a 98 score. Number three is Grand Theft Auto 5, 98 score. I'll only do the top 10. Number four, Super Mario Galaxy. Number five is Super Mario Galaxy 2. And then number six is Breath of the Wild. It's quite cool. Seven, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Number eight is Perfect Dark. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it.
Like, have you not? No. It was like GoldenEye, but different.
Okay. And then number nine, Red Dead Redemption 2. And then number 10 is a Grand Theft Auto 4. Wow. What a weird list.
Yeah, well, like I say, that's...
Bioshock says number 17 and fucking Baldur's Gate 3, 21.
Yeah, but these will be like... These are like mainly built up around critic scores, right?
The thing is that the scores as well, you're talking... So you go 99, 98, 98. And then basically from like 12th place all the way down is more or less the same score, 97s and 96s. So it's a very tight pool.
Games are a lot more highly critiqued now than they ever used to be. So the older games like, you know, Ocarina of Time and stuff, they were generationals. But if that came out now with the leap of, you know, because that was like the first kind of open worldy kind of thing. It was like 3D open world, horse, go where you want. It was like a proper adventure. So that was like groundbreaking. But if something like that come out today, it wouldn't still hit the heights, even if it hit all the right notes that Zelda did. Yeah, it's just a different world we live in now.
It's the games that walked so that the rest of gaming could run.
Exactly. And you look at the critiques of... A lot of them scores will be from the critics, but you look at things like Days Gone, and you'll look at the critics' score as to the user score, it'll be vastly different.
I know we've done this before, but let me just feed my curiosity and look at Days Gone. Yeah, 71. You can fuck right off... Yeah, because it, yeah, based on critic reviews, is 71, but then an 8.5 for user score.
So inherently 71 or 85. That's the difference between.
Yeah.
And I think, like we said last week, a lot of mainstream games media is kind of dying out, and they're going to the everyman person now, you know? So.
Imagine, at the beginning of the game, you'll feel like you've already played this game. Then it will let you go for a while, only to return with reinforcements and lots of bugs. However, Days Gone has a couple of pleasant moments that can't be denied. Get fucked.
Great game. Fantastico game.
We got Split Fiction come out yesterday or today. I think it was yesterday. Same creators as It Takes Two.
And another one.
The other one.
No Way Out.
No Way Out. Very, very cool. One thing that I really like about it is obviously it's branded as a co-op and then best played as couch co-op. And if you buy the game, only one person has to buy the game.
I heard that, you know. I forgot about that.
Because it comes with a friend code inside so that you can just send that to someone else.
Very smart.
Which
marketing.
I think is perfect because it's not... You can buy it on Amazon for 38 quid. So it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. I think the campaign, if you really stretch it out, is maybe like 20 odd hours, if that. I think if you do it normally, it's like 17 hours. Which... For me, I think it's fine because they're very fun games.
And how long? 17 hours?
Yeah.
That's a lot, really, for a couch co-op game. I'd say that's quite a bit. And for a game that's 30-odd quid.
Mm. But I haven't... Any videos or anything that have popped up, I've stayed away from them because I'm going to play the game. And I know that I'm going to like it regardless. There's something about those co-op games that I really enjoy. I feel like it's... Does it play on the nostalgia? Yeah, a little bit, but it's also like that old school style of gaming, but in the new world, in terms of tech and playability and things like that. So it's like it's got this much fresher feel to it, but at the same time, old school. If that makes sense. Weird way of because you don't get fucking couch co-ops anymore. Or co-op games at a split screen anymore. That's not really a done thing, which would make sense because there's not a lot of games that are on the market now that are coming out that would suit that sort of style. But it's nice to in the world that we've got now with all these games that shit like that still shines through and is very, very popular when it does come out.
Couch co-op is a necessity for a parent because I never really understood the necessity of couch co-op. Because I only ever play on my own. Unless, you know, we're going back pre-internet days and your mates come around, you want to play co-op, of course you do, or PvP with each other.
Mm.
Don't look at my screen, you dickhead.
Yeah.
But now, with the kids, like, for example, PlayStation Plus games this month are like Sonic something and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which you know I love. But I looked at both of them and they're both two-player. So I was like, download. And then the kids come home from school yesterday, I was like, well, two new games. And bang, they're playing two new games, you know, together. And it's nice because they get to play. And, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, free player. I can play as well.
Yeah.
It's quality. It's great. It's great to play games with your kids. It's cool, man.
Mm.
So, yeah, I you know, the old school co-op games like Xbox, Halo and stuff, you can't beat it. But nowadays, it's more modern than this internet. So, couch co-op kind of goes by the by. But unless you're playing like Baldur's Gate, well, of course it is included because Baldur's Gate does everything 100% correctly in everything they ever do and say. I've got a new game. Put far too many hours of it in it in the last week.
Go on.
It goes by the name of Monster Hunter.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was off work Monday, Tuesday, not because of that.
Yeah.
So I bought it because I finished KCD, actually. I finished Kingdom Come Deliverance.
Mm. Is that something that you can replay, or is it once it's done?
Oh, 100% you can replay it. 100%. Like, I probably will replay it, not for a long time. I will play it again on the same save file because it's getting like free expansions.
Mm.
And I've got an expansion pass with the collector's edition.
Yep.
And they do loads of free updates. They've got a barber shop coming in the next update and loads of other little bits and bobs. They do loads of free DLCs as well. But yeah, I didn't even realise I got an ending. I didn't know there was multiple endings. But there is. But yeah, fucking 10 out of 10. 100% of 10 out of 10. Absolutely unbelievable. And bear in mind, I done very little in terms of side content. And I pretty much... I did a fair bit, but no, probably like 3 hours of side stuff. And that game took me like 80 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Just campaign and... It's just one unbelievable game. But yeah, I bought Monster Hunter. And contrastly, I finished the campaign in 12 hours. Monster Hunter is not that kind of game. The game, you roll in Monster Hunter history, which I didn't realise because I played Monster Hunter World and finished it.
Mm.
I never realised because once I rolled credits on Monster Hunter World, I don't think I ever played it again. But what I didn't realise was that Monster Hunter games, once they roll credits, that's when the game starts. So you roll credits and then, you know, the game carries on. But I thought it was the end. Obviously, naturally, who wouldn't? The credits have rolled.
Yeah.
I thought this was just, you know, post-game messing about shit. Turns out there's loads more chapters to do. And the monsters get harder. So there's a thing called low rank, which is, you know, easy mode.
Is this Wilds that you're talking about?
Yeah. Which is easy mode. And then once you roll credits, you get to high rank, which is the fucking hard part.
Mm.
So they call before you roll credits first, the tutorial. So all them years ago, I thought I completed Monster Hunter World. I hadn't. I just done the tutorial, essentially. So yeah, I blitzed through that. And mate, I've always wanted to love Monster Hunter games. But they've never like really clicked for me. But I've always read, and it's always said the same thing. Once the game will click for you, you're clicked, you're in. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, this game is clicked for me, bro. I've put in, I think like 35, 36 hours since Sunday. Is it Sunday? Monday.
Fuck.
So
in 5 days.
Yeah. Bearing in mind, I was off Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
I wasn't ill. I just had to stay home.
Yeah. But in 5 days, you put in over 24 hours worth of, you put in over a day, almost 2 days.
Yeah. Good, isn't it?
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's dedication. So I've been playing like a lot more than I should. And I'm addicted, bro. Like I can't put into words.
What do you do?
You just fucking hunt monsters.
Because I played Monster Hunter years ago. I still remember whatever one it, let me fucking Google it because I want to find out what one it was. Whatever one that I was playing.
Monster Hunter Rise, Monster Hunter Sunbreak, Monster Hunter World, Monster Hunter Unto, fucking Freedom Unite, fuck knows.
I will find it. I remember like cooking meat and shit like that and making a big fuck off sword, and I was kind of too young to really understand what was going on. So
the first Monster Hunter game I played, I fucking hated it. I think it was on like the PSP or something.
Mm.
And it was like all different zones and you just chase this monster about. So this is fucking shit. What is this? Like 1995? What is this crap? But now I get it. And it's like, well, it's modernised now. And it's kind of like open world, but mission based. But it's hard to get into because they kind of treat you like you already know shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of stuff they just don't really explain, but...
Oh my God, there's fucking loads of Monster Hunters.
No, it's fucking hundreds of thousands.
That's the one. Do I remember that case? Is that the fucking... La 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 la. I think that is the one. It was the first Monster Hunter.
The first one? PS1? PS2?
The... 2004. It literally just Monster Hunter PS2.
Yeah, it was the first one. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one that I played.
I watched someone playing it yesterday on YouTube just because I'm addicted. You just wake up in bed with a sword.
Yeah, yeah. You literally just wake up. Oh, the nostalgia that comes from it. Yeah, you literally just wake up and then you're doing the tutorial, and then I really didn't make it that far. Like I say, because 2004, I would have been what? Fucking hell. Like 7.
Bro, it's mad.
7, 8 years old.
It's a madness, bro. Like, it's just fuck off monsters that you're fighting. And then you go, I'm going to cut your fucking tail off and then I'm going to craft a sword out of your fucking tail.
Mm. I'm going to take your bones out of your fucking flesh and I'm going to make something out of it.
And then I'm going to get more powerful and then I'm going to upgrade it and then I'm going to go fuck more.
And then I'm going to cook your flesh. Yeah? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fucking cook it, you horrible cunt.
But it's like, it's open world, so like monsters can interact with one another. So like, and I'm not talking like, oh, they'll just, you know, they'll see each other and they'll go and they'll do damage. I mean, they're interacting, brother. I mean, a dragon will come down, fucking swoop down, pick the monster up that you're, say you're fighting a little thing, but it's still big compared to you. Swoop down and fucking grab the cunt, take it off, electrocute it, drop it down in front of you, and it'll be fucking, it'll be a sandstorm come in. And this is all just dynamic, bro. Yeah, this is no scripted shit. This is just dynamic stuff. It is the most cinematic shit you'll ever see. But it's just addictive as fuck. Like, just smashing monsters up, man, and then making shit and then doing it again and again and again.
What weapons do you use?
I'm currently using a longsword. You can have two weapons. You've got a mount in this game. I think it's like a first time ever. Then you can store another weapon on your mount, so you can just quickly whip up your mount and get your other sword off or your other weapon. I use the dual blades and the longsword, but the weapons are just made for you, basically. Like, when I was playing, I was just thinking you'd love these weapons. Well, they're just massive.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah,
you got fucking gun lance, you've got fucking heavy bow gun, light bow gun, switch axe, fucking massive hammers, sword and shield, just fucking spears, just everything. But every single weapon you craft is, you know, it looks different, and you can get different gems to slot in them, and there's just so much. It can be as deep as you want or as shallow as you want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's kind of up to you how you want to play it. But I plan on sticking with it and just grinding out as much as I possibly can and doing all the hard monsters that they add, because they always add new monsters in just little just random DLCs, and then they'll do big expansions and they'll add more monsters. And yeah, they just keep pumping them out and you just keep slaying them, brother. And that's my plan. I'm just going to keep killing monsters.
It's got the old mixed bag of reviews on it.
Oh, it's only on the computer, innit? Steam. It's because the performance is bad.
Yeah, literally the first one. Very immersive game. You can cook a well-done steak on your GPU while you play and the hot blasts of air from your PC fans truly make you feel like you're in the desert. Keep a bag of sand by your desk and periodically toss handfuls of it into the air to really complete the experience.
People are saying it's the best Monster Hunter ever made, but yes, on the PC it's not optimised properly.
Yeah, it seems to happen quite a lot with PC, where games come out and then they're not optimised well, and then a later patch has to come out, and that really fucks up the reviews for it, because it's like it's not the game itself that you've got a problem with, it's the optimisation of it, it's the hardware behind it rather than the game.
The reviews stick with it, and then it'll be like nothing ever happened in a month.
Yeah.
And then it's like tarnished a little bit. But yes, fun fact is it's the best and fastest selling Capcom game of all time.
Sold, is it actually, yeah?
Sold 8 million in 24 hours or something, or 48 8 hours.
Million.
Yeah. Best selling Capcom game, not even just Monster Hunter. It's pretty much an insane statistic.
Another sales record 6 hours ago. La 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 from Gosu Games. Monster Hunter Wilds hit sales record with biggest physical PS5 game launch in Japan. Yeah, fastest selling title ever continues to rack up sales, especially in its home country of Japan. Did it say blah, 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 Thursday 6th of March that Monster Hunter Wilds racked up over 601,000 physical sales on the PS5 from its launch date of 28th of Feb up to 2nd of March. And then For reference, the record for the biggest physical launch of a PS5 game was previously held by Square Enix's Final Fantasy 16, which sold over 336,000 copies when it launched, en route to achieving just under 430,000 sales in that year. Monster Hunter Wild sales figures also dwarfed all other entries, with the next highest seller being Yu-Gi-Oh! Early Days Collection at over 49,000 copies and Wizardry Gaiden 5 Trials at just under 12,000. Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy, isn't it?
8 million in fucking 48 hours or something stupid.
Well, Monster Hunter Wilds' physical launch numbers in its heartland of Japan are certainly impressive. It's worth noting that it sold significantly less than its predecessors, namely 2021's Monster Hunter Rise and 2018's Monster Hunter World. Monster Hunter Rise sold over 1.3 million physical copies on its main platform in the Nintendo Switch, while Monster Hunter World sold over 1.35 million copies in just its first 3 days of release in Japan. That's so many copies, man.
Monster Hunter World surpasses 8 million units sold in 3 days and is the fastest Capcom game to do so. Start is much stronger than the 5 million Monster Hunter World shipped in 2018.
When was it? This was from 6 hours ago, sir.
This was 3 days ago.
Oh, weird. Different sources. Either way, very fucking impressive. Could you imagine releasing a podcast episode and then you look on the analytics and there's 1.3 million people have literally go, what the fuck? Where does that come from?
It's very impressive. More impressive that we're in March now and you've already had, well, that Splitgate or whatever it's called. What's it called?
Split Fiction.
Yeah, so that's reviewed very well.
Mm.
So you've got KCD2, Monster Hunter Wilds and that, already three games that could be nominated for fucking Game of the Year. And it doesn't matter what you do, because if GTA comes out, it's pointless. It's over for you guys.
Yep.
And it's sad that that is the case, but it should probably is, isn't it?
But that's exactly what's going to happen.
But 3 months in and you've already got three Game of the Year contenders. We're going good this year. We're eating well.
So you have Monster Hunter Wilds. So here are... I will go through a couple of the games that are coming out this year. I apologise because the list that I've got doesn't actually tell me which ones have come out and which ones haven't, but I'm sure we can work it out. So you've got Monster Hunter Wilds, Assassin's Creed Shadows, and then Split Fiction, Tales of the Shire, which was one that I was interested in and then was no longer interested in. It's like if Stardew Valley and Animal Crossing took a trip to the Shire of Lord of the Rings. So, doesn't sound like my cup of tea, but maybe I'll look into it. Death Stranding 2 is apparently set for this year as well. What else have we got? The Outer Worlds 2, Atomfall. Atomfall looks quite cool. Borderlands 4, Hell Is Us. Yeah, Avowed. There are some big games that have come out and that are coming out. I'm still really interested to see how Elden Ring Night Rain does. Dying Light the Beast as well. That's one that I'm fucking interested in.
We both played that last one, didn't we? That was a sick game.
What, Dying Light? Yes.
The second game where you were using that going up in that lift and shit.
Yeah, Dying Light was fucking real good game. Real fucking good. So yeah, 2025 is eating well. It's definitely fucking... But you're right, if... I love that GTA 6 just isn't on this list either.
Nah.
Is that telling?
Well, they had a meeting the other day that they said, no, it's still very much on course to come out this year, so...
That's going to be wild.
Yeah, the fact that we're still on Trailer 1. Trailer 1, and that was not last November, the November before or whatever
mm-hmm.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
So them trailers better start rolling out soon, if that's coming out in like October, November time. What's the point? Where's the marketing?
They don't need it.
I know
they don't fucking need to worry about marketing at all. I don't know a single person that is anywhere in the world of gaming that doesn't know about GTA 6.
I wish we lived in a world where we could do both outcomes and see what does better. Like, just shadow dropping GTA one day. And just be like, yes, out. Good luck.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they did.
Oh, I'd love it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? Imagine how many people were calling sick if they'd done it on like a Sunday night.
100%. I'd be gone.
It's mad. It's mad.
I reckon genuinely, if I rolled up to work and then checked my phone and then got a notification saying that GTA 6 has been released whilst I was on my way to work, I would go homesick. 100%. Oh, yeah. That migraine card would be pulled so fucking quick. I've got to go. My head, I'm fucked.
The stinky log is online.
See you later. I'll be straight gone. 100%. And even if I got called out, who gives a fuck? Who cares?
GTA, bro. What? Shout out. Fuck it. Yeah, I'll wait. All right.
See you later. Everyone's gone. Why the fuck? I'll have 2 days off, please. No worries.
That's great.
You would do. That's the type of game that I would book holiday for.
Yeah, you have to.
All day.
You have to. And you get rejected because everyone else has booked it off.
Oh.
That's how it goes.
How much that's going to... Because like, what is GTA 5's... I think it's looking at their sales, it's going to be 210 million copies.
Just a few, isn't it? Just
I'm pretty sure few. I account for fucking three of them and all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. How many of them are like multi-platform?
PS3, PS4, fucking bang on the PS5. Stupid.
Yeah, and Xbox.
And Xbox. It is the second best-selling video game of all time, with 210 million copies shipped and one of the most financially successful entertainment products of all time.
What is the highest selling then? It's got to be another GTA, isn't it?
I'll have a look. It says, with over $8.5 billion in worldwide revenue, its successor, Grand Theft Auto 5...
The best-selling game of all time is Minecraft.
Oh, six, sorry. Minecraft?
Selling over 300 million copies.
Minecraft?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never played it.
Grand Theft Auto 5, 210 million. Tetris, Wii Sports.
Wii Sports?
PUBG, Super Mario Bros., Red Dead Redemption 2, Overwatch, The Witcher 3. Ark Survival Evolved.
Ark Survival, yeah.
But top selling, that's mental. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Elder Scrolls Skyrim, and Call of Duty Modern.
I always find it crazy how you look at a list like that, and then there's always the games that are near the top where you either just haven't played them, or you played them and you're just so uninterested in them.
Just
and you
shocked.
Think,
it's like, what?
Yeah, you think how... Like, Ark Survival, I look at anything that I ever see from that game, and I always think, this looks janky as shit. Like, it looks so...
What's that noise?
It's the ice cream van.
Oh.
I don't know. It was fucking buzzing around at like 6 o'clock last night.
Oh, I'm
on a 99 at fucking 6 p.m. Always weird. Like I say, it always looks so janky when I look at it, and the UI looks horrible and everything, but it's obviously got a massive cult following. So there must be something about it that's appealing. Just not for me.
Geezer at work's the only game he plays with. Literally bought a PSVR just to play it. Just so he can fucking have a screen in his face. He's fucking bought a laptop to play it. He's bought a portal to play it when he's out.
Mm.
Just fucking loves it, man. He just fucking loves it. He hates it. It's like everyone with their favourite game, they hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, like Destiny, I hate it, but I love it.
I'm fucking sick of this game.
Yeah. World of Warcraft, you hate it, but you love it.
World of Warcraft.
Before we go on to any more games, let's just shout out the big dog. For doing your run. I forgot about that. I just remembered. Congrats.
What? My 10K?
For completing your little run. And Mark. I see Mark in the picture.
Yeah.
Well done, Egg Boy.
Yeah, we were fucking...
Spider Pig.
We were...
Spider Ham.
All blistered up and fucking...
Well, congrats.
Ready to go.
It's a good feat, man.
We got in May, we're running through Colchester Zoo.
Interesting route.
That should be quite cool. That's doing a 10K.
Route, yeah,
very interesting. And then fucking, I've got an ultra marathon in October.
Wow,
that's going to be nice and fun. But yeah, medals.
How far is an ultra?
I mean, technically anything over a marathon is classed as an ultra, but I think this is one of the smallest ultras you can do. It's like a really intermediate. It's 31 miles, called Stort 30.
Just the 30 miles.
It's 50 kilometres. Sounds way better if you say 50 kilometres. Ultra marathon. So
does it? I think 30 miles sounds better, because 50K don't... Like, I used to run 2K or 2.5K every morning when I was in the gym.
Mm.
And I didn't think that was that far. So, you know.
Yeah, it's not.
Doing that 25 times ain't that bad, but 30 miles sounds horrific to me.
Yeah, running 30 miles.
Yeah, that's, you know. How long did it take you, your little run?
55 minutes. It weren't a PB for me. I had an awful run. It really weren't fucking, it weren't great. I ran in new shoes, just blistered to fuck. Aww. And we made the mistake, like, because the first event we ever did was the Rudolph run at Southend. And that was just a fun little charity thing they do every Christmas. You get a medal and all that shit. But this one was like a proper run. You know what I mean? Thames Water were there hanging out, handing out goodie bags, like a proper, and there was loads of people there and we were right at the back. So it was like raring to go. And once it finally went, obviously, there's like 500 people in front of us. Mm. So they're all bunched up. So for the first mile, you can't fucking run. I was walking faster than I was running because there's so many people. And it just set the tone for the race. So I just spent the whole thing trying to overtake people. But it was good. I'm glad I went. I got another fucking medal under my belt.
And more importantly, doing it for charity, stem cells, right?
That's the one in October. Yeah, I'm doing a half marathon in October.
You were wearing a stem cells t-shirt.
Yeah. Because
so you're spreading awareness regardless.
Yeah, because they sent me, when I signed up for the half marathon one, you actually have to reach a target in terms of donations so that you can run the race. And I fucking blew that out of the water. And they sent me like a running vest with Anthony Nolan and all that shit on it. And then sent me a t-shirt alongside it. And then that vest they sent me was actually slightly too small. So I asked them for another one. I think they fucked up because they just sent me two more t-shirts. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just wear them in my events because they're quite nice. But yeah, that's nothing to do with gaming whatsoever.
No, it doesn't matter. It's very important. a very important thing. And I think you should put the link on the Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah. I've reached the target. So I can do the race, but obviously I still want to get more money. So I was like closer, because obviously it's not till October, and it was January was when I started the fundraising. So I was like, I'll get a little bit closer and then I'll start fucking tapping people up again. And then, yeah. So, decent.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And well done.
Thank you.
Noble cause. I respect it.
Completely lost where we were going in terms of gaming.
Probably just moaning about Saturn.
World of Warcraft's grabbed me by the bollocks, unsurprisingly. New season started, new raids, new raider, new zone, new quest, new campaign, new everything, blah, 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 blah. And most of us are all playing a new character.
Is it not a new expansion then?
No.
What does the expansion add then, if not new, all of that stuff?
Yeah, all of that stuff. And then they add in a patch that adds all of that new stuff again on top of that.
Is this like pre-expansion season or something?
No. This is just a continuation of the expansion. Expansion comes out, you don't get all the story and everything at once. You get the bulk of it, and then obviously a raid, season one, and then the mythic plus dungeon pools and all of that. And obviously a season runs for however long, I can't remember. And then you end up with another patch where they do a shitload of changes, and then you end up getting a new zone, a new raid comes out to continue on the story, a new mythic plus dungeon pool, everything resets. So yeah, it's fucking good, man. It's really good. It's called Undermine, and it's all about goblins. And it's like typical.
Do you like Nobby?
The raid is a casino, pretty much, and it's chaotically fantastic. It very, very fun. We started it on Wednesday night. And for the first time ever, I was playing as a tank, so quite an imperative role. Absolutely shitting myself, and it went really fucking well. And it's just crazy, man. It's a fun fucking raid, but it's hectic. There's one point where, in between bosses, you got to get from point A to point B, and there's just goblins drifting around in cars and shit like that. But if they hit you, they literally turn you into mulch. And I swear to fuck, those things were targeting. It was taking us like maybe 15, 20 minutes worth of just trying to get through these fucking goblins. Jesus Christ. It was just a chaotic mess, which, like John said, fits the tone of the raid really, really well. you're in like this mega casino and there's fucking greedy goblins everywhere and they're in it for themselves and don't care about anyone else and blah, and you're just trying to fucking sift through all that shit. But yeah, real good fun. Really, really good. I won't bore everyone else with it because there's a lot of shit I could talk about, but no one's going to fucking understand what it is that I'm talking about. But what I will say is you go from the end of the season and you get a lull where basically no one's online because everyone's done everything they want to do and they're chilling out. And then when a new season starts, it's just fucking everyone's online. So you log in and the guild, there'll be like fucking 30 odd people online. And then everyone's in the Discord, everyone's chatting. So it's like everyone went into hibernation and it happens every season and then comes straight back. But yeah, really interesting because a lot of people are playing stuff that they've never played before and just changing it up. So it's nice. I'm really, really enjoying it. It's decent.
It's funny because remember when we made a whole Discord for New World? I feel like we should speak to Connor and say maybe is there a way to just rebrand that to like What's the Buttons or something?
Yeah, of course there is.
Just having a What's the Buttons Discord, because otherwise it's pretty much useless. And I actually went on to New World a little while ago, like a couple of weeks ago. And a lot of the people are still in the clan.
I'm literally just looking to see if fucking who's... Is anyone actually in...
I think it's just you and me and a couple of your
boys.
No,
there's still quite a few. There's still a few people in there that I don't know that are still in that server.
And yeah, I went on it and it said that I could be the governor.
Oh, what? Because I haven't been active for that long.
So it just said only the
take it over.
Oh, I fucking took it, mate, and then I turned it off and uninstalled the game. Yeah, so then it'll be up for someone else soon because I ain't put it on either. Shame, because I fucking loved that game.
What an ADHD fucking rip we had on that one.
Oh, it's called What's the Buttons Company. I mean, you could still just use that, couldn't you?
Yeah,
join the Discord for an extra tenner a month. I'm joking. Yeah, join the fucking Discord. But it's an easy way to just communicate on a whim, like WhatsApp, wasn't it? Just to chat. You want to hit us up, bro? Obviously, we have to join Discord. We have to change all the names of
the names of that shit.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll be more.
I have to learn how to use Discord properly.
I know how to use it, but it's still a bit finicky, you know. But I'll be more than up for people jumping in and just having a little chat, because there's nothing I like more than talking about nerdy bollocks every day, all day, if I could. Which is why I'm in the complete wrong job. So give us more money so we can make this work.
Speaking of more money, we're going to fuck off and do the Patreon.
Where the real money is.
Where it's all at. Sweet. Cheers for listening, everyone. See you later. Oh, bro.
All right.